The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I remember hot days. Unfortunately, we seem to have lost them here in Israel. It is snowing in Jerusalem. Can you believe it? We are in for a white Purim. Who'd have thunk it?
That is unbelievable. Sorry, I just have to interrupt you. One of my listeners is lying to me. Kim Fine says, and I'm not buying what she's selling. She says, rubbish, Howard. I make the most delicious roast chicken in an air fryer. Nonsense. You do not. You're making that up. Either way, it doesn't matter. I don't know. They're talking about air fryers. All right. Either way, let's get on to the Israel Report. A Purim, snowing on Purim in Israel. That's weird, right?
Isn't it crazy? Whoever stole the warm weather, can you please return it? It's supposed to be spring here, people. This is not spring. It is currently 7 degrees in Modi'in and raining.
That is bizarre. All right. Well, I suppose it's making you feel a little bit Ukrainian. Back-to-back calls with Putin and Zelensky. That's quite something. It's been an immense amount of effort that has been put into it by Bennett. How's he doing? Is he getting somewhere? What do we know?
Well, we don't get too many details. You know, the Prime Minister's office is very loath to release statements or comments after these calls take place. In fact, the best source of information is actually President Zelensky himself. So yesterday...
Yeah, he's a bit of a leaking faucet, isn't he?
He's unbelievable. He's very good. And, you know, if you want to learn the flags of the world, just follow him on Twitter. But President Zelensky announced yesterday that he had spoken to Prime Minister Bennett following a call with Putin. Now, what we do know about the call with Putin is that Prime Minister Bennett discussed the possibilities of a ceasefire. How far or near we are to that, we don't know, and that the call lasted an hour and a half. Oh, to be a fly on the wall in that call. And then straight after that, the Prime Minister phoned President Zelensky and updated him on that. And of course, the President tweeted out that, you know, Israel is continuing mediation efforts. Now, some people have picked apart that, you know, when Zelensky talks to other world leaders, he says, you know, they're 100% behind Ukraine. We have to remember they're not serving as mediators. Israel is in that extremely precarious position of trying to balance both. But Andrei Yermak, who is the chief advisor to President Zelensky, yesterday tweeted out, he said, Israel has undertaken the difficult but noble mission of mediating the search for peace and ending Russia's aggression against Ukraine. We also have intensive dialogue with it on its participation in humanitarian issues. Something very, very important, because there is acknowledgement, and there was acknowledgement from Ukraine's defense minister as well, saying that, you know, Ukraine is so appreciative of Israel's mediation efforts, especially in light of the delicate diplomatic tightrope Israel has to balance. So there is the acknowledgement for that, because I've seen so many people tweeting out, but, you know, Israel isn't doing this and Israel isn't doing that. Another update is Israel will be imposing sanctions against Russia. Yesterday, our foreign minister announced that he is in discussions with all the relevant ministries, the governor of the Bank of Israel, tourism, the airport, everybody, to impose sanctions. Liz Truss, the foreign secretary of the UK, has lauded Israel for that. And poor old Roman Abramovich landed in Tel Aviv and had to scuttle off to Turkey very, very quickly. And apparently he's en route to an unnamed destination from there. He's also managed to dock his super yacht in Montenegro. But Israel will not be a safe haven for Russian oligarchs.
Wow. It's just incredible, because at the same time that Israel is trying to bring peace, they are still being quite tough on the approach to Russia.
Well, absolutely. And, the public consensus is that it's going to have to come to the point where Israel is going to have to pick a definite side. But it is acknowledged not just by President Zelensky, but by other European countries as well, just how delicate Israel's role is.
Very, very difficult indeed. El Al partners with Maccabi Health to send aid to the area. Tell us about this.
Oh, this is just such a spirit of Israel story. In fact, when I read it yesterday, I had such tears in my eyes. But Maccabi Tel Aviv have partnered with the Sasser Seton Foundation and the Center for Jewish Impact to provide essential aid items for the families of Ukrainian refugees. So what this will entail is sending packages with whoever is aboard the flight to Bucharest, Romania, with aid packages that will also contain not just consumer goods, but medicines and goods specifically for children and babies who are the most vulnerable at this time. So whoever's flying on the El Al flight out to Bucharest will get these aid packages, which they can stick under their seats and will be able to hand off to needy Ukrainian refugees. It is just so special. Okay. And also very, very special is the fact that Israel will be opening our field hospital in Western Ukraine, named after Ukrainian-born Golda Meir. And she served and continues to serve as inspiration, not just for Jews and Israelis, but for Ukrainians. You know, there's that extraordinary story of a Ukrainian soldier who considers himself a Zionist. He's not Jewish. And in his combat satchel, he's got a copy of Golda Meir's autobiography. It's extraordinary. Incredible.
Really, really is just remarkable. A big story last night seemed to have unfolded when Israeli government websites went down. There was a lot of speculation as to who was behind it, and I read a lot of comments that it must be Iran. What is the latest on this? First of all, what happened?
Well, all the government websites went down at the same time. And of course, me being a giant Kocha level, of course, I had to check for myself. And they all went down. They have managed to recover them. But what we do think is that this was an opportunistic Iranian attack on Israeli infrastructure. We had the firing of rockets towards Erbil, towards a U.S. Embassy there. We think, and this is the concern, and this is why Israel is treading such a careful diplomatic line with Russia, is that Iran is looking at the West, the West's response to Ukraine, where the attention is, and will try to act opportunistically. And, as we speak, the Vienna talks have been suspended, and we know that Russia has been in consultation with Iran. So this also plays into this much bigger picture of why we are being so very, very, very cautious.
In fact, there was also an article that I saw that said Iran claims to thwart Israeli sabotage plot at nuclear facilities and have arrested networks. So there's definitely a lot going on in the space, and it seems to be becoming more overt, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And, we can't forget that no sooner had the Russian tanks rolled into Ukraine, we saw China send warplanes to fly in and out of Taiwanese airspace. So we do think that while there is this attempt by Putin to try and upset the world order, we will see these opportunistic attacks, especially as talks in Vienna have been suspended as well.
I want to move on to a story that we spoke about yesterday. We started speaking about this Amnesty International statement that was made. There has been a follow-up in Congress amongst Democrats. Tell us about it.
Well, this is extraordinary as well. All 25 members of the U.S. House of Representatives who are Jewish have released a statement taking Paul O'Brien, the U.S. Director of Amnesty International, to task. And I'll read it directly to you. It says, on the heels of a recent Amnesty International report that a number of members condemned as delegitimizing of the Jewish people's right to self-determination and undermining of the prospects for a two-state solution, Amnesty International USA's Executive Director Paul O'Brien has now taken a new, very disturbing step, purporting to speak for the entire Jewish community on Israel. He claimed his gut tells him what Jewish people in this country want is that Israel should not exist as a Jewish state. As Jewish members of the House of Representatives, we represent diverse views on a number of issues relating to Israel. However, we are in full agreement that Mr. O'Brien's patronizing attempt to speak on behalf of the American Jewish community is alarming and deeply offensive. He has added his name to the list of those who across centuries have tried to deny and usurp the Jewish people's independent agency. We stand united in condemning this and any anti-Semitic attempt to deny the Jewish people control of their own destiny. Wow. And it was tweeted out by other members of Congress who aren't Jewish, but feel a very, very strong solidarity. So that's quite the indictment against Amnesty International.
Have they responded? Amnesty International. Well, have they come out again commenting on this?
Well, funny you should ask that, because Paul O'Brien tried to clarify his comments, but however, there are tapes, and the author of the article, who actually managed to interview him, released the transcripts of the tapes, and they're pretty damning against Paul O'Brien. So, you know, as you said yesterday, we're in the week of Purim, when we talk about masks, and the mask of Amnesty International and certainly its executive director in the United States has clanged as it drops to the ground, and we can see for ourselves exactly what their intentions are, and they have nothing to do with human rights or the improvement of the situation between Israel and her Palestinian neighbors.
The problem is with this type of thing, and I was thinking about it early this morning. The issue is that you would hope that Amnesty International would stop and say, hold on a minute, everybody's saying the same thing about us now. We've got a lot of reaction. We've been caught out, or we've been called out, rather, a number of times. Should we be looking at ourselves? And I worry that they won't, because if you are inherently anti-Semitic, all you're going to do is say, well, you see, you talk out against Israel and the whole Jewish lobby comes at you. And if that is your thought process, then there is no ways you can introspect, and there is no ways you can do better.
Well, the interesting thing is, it's not the so-called Jewish lobby that is coming down on them. They're lamenting the fact that the mainstream media have not picked up on their report, which is very interesting. But it's countries like France, whose president and prime minister have condemned it. It's the democratic free world, Australia, Canada, the United Kingdom, Czech Republic, and other countries have roundly dismissed this report. And it's not just the Jewish members of Congress that are supporting the statement. It's congressmen and women. I want to say the Hebrew word bichlal. All of them who have bipartisan support of Israel, except, of course, with a few exceptions, like Talib Omar our dear friend, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez, who's lamenting the effect of sanctions on the Ukrainian people, bless her.
I'm sorry, can you just stop there for a minute? I saw that tweet, and I don't understand what she's saying. She's saying that we mustn't, that war's bad, and we must work towards peace, okay, we all get that, and that sanctions, we mustn't impose sanctions because it's just going to harm the Ukrainian people. Is that, what does that even mean?
Well, I think it means that Ms. Ocasio-Cortez won't be receiving her Mensa membership anytime soon, and that one really has to worry when she opines on anything of a geopolitical nature.
Yeah, I think it probably, yeah, that's probably the best thing that it does mean. It's absurd. Finally, we've got 1 minute left. Field Hospital to be named for Golda Meir.
Well, isn't that just, it really warms the heart. I mean, Israel has said, United Hatzalah, we've got Israel Aid on the ground, we've got our diplomats on the ground, just want to give a tremendous kol hakavod to all of them for their work. But the field hospital, which is ready to go, and it's quite extraordinary, it's state of the art, it's costing an extraordinary amount of money to put it together. This is from the Ministry of Health, not from the army. It's an important clarification that, manned by doctors, nurses from Sheba Medical Center, is named for the great Golda Meir, born in Ukraine, such an icon to Israelis, Jews, and the Ukrainian people. And it's only fitting that this hospital is named in her honor.
Absolutely, and what a wonderful note to leave it on. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. That was your Israel Report with Rolene Marks.